Chapter 5, Our Camp Meetings.
There can be no influence so detrimental to a camp meeting or any other gathering for religious worship as much visiting and careless conversation. Frequently, men and women assemble in companies and engage in conversation upon common subjects which do not relate to the meeting. Some have brought their farms with them. Others have brought their houses and are laying their plans for building. Some are dissecting the characters of others and have no time or disposition to search their own hearts, to discover the defects in their own characters, that they may correct their wrongs and perfect holiness in the fear of God. If all who profess to be followers of Christ would improve the time out of meeting in conversing upon the truth, in dwelling upon the Christian's hope, in searching their own hearts, and in earnest prayer before God, pleading for his blessing, a much greater work would be accomplished than we have yet seen. Unbelievers who falsely accuse those who believe the truth would be convinced because of their good conversation in Christ. Our words and actions are the fruit we bear. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. God gave direction to the Israelites to assemble before him at set periods in the place which he should choose, and observe special days wherein no unnecessary work was to be done, but the time was to be devoted to a consideration of the blessings which he had bestowed upon them. At these special seasons, the manservant and maidservant, the stranger, the fatherless, and widow, all were directed to rejoice that God had by his own wonderful power brought them from servile bondage to the enjoyment of freedom, and they were commanded not to appear before the Lord empty-handed. They were to bring tokens of their gratitude to God for his continual mercies and blessings bestowed upon them. They were to bring gifts, free will offerings, and thank offerings unto the Lord as he had blessed them. These offerings were varied according to the donor's estimate of the blessings which he was privileged to enjoy. Thus the characters of the people were plainly developed. Those who placed a high value upon the blessings which God bestowed upon them brought offerings in accordance with this appreciation of his blessings. Those whose moral powers were stupefied and benumbed by selfishness and idolatrous love of the favors received, rather than inspired by fervent love for their bountiful benefactor, brought meager offerings. Thus their hearts were revealed. Besides these special religious feast days of gladness and rejoicing, the yearly Passover was to be commemorated by the Jewish nation. The Lord covenanted that if they were faithful in the observance of his requirements, he would bless them in all their increase and in all the works of their hands. God requires no less of his people in these last days in sacrifices and offerings than he did of the Jewish nation. Those whom he has blessed with a competency, and even the widow and the fatherless, should not be unmindful of his blessings. Especially should those whom he has prospered render to him the things that are his. They should appear before him with a spirit of self-sacrifice and bring their offerings in accordance with the blessings he has bestowed upon them. But many whom God prospers manifest base ingratitude to him. If his blessings rest upon them, and he increases their substance, they use these bounties as cords to bind them to the love of their possessions. They allow worldly business to take possession of their affections and of their entire being, and neglect devotion and religious privileges. They cannot afford to leave their business cares and come before God even once a year. They turn the blessings of God into a curse by serving their own temporal interests to the neglect of his requirements. Men who possess thousands remain at home year after year, engrossed in their worldly cares and interests, and feel that they cannot afford to make the small sacrifice of attending the yearly gatherings to worship God. He has blessed them in basket and in store, and surrounded them with his benefits on the right hand and on the left. Yet they withhold from him the small offerings which he requires of them. They love to serve themselves. Their souls will be like the unrefreshed desert, without the dew of rain or heaven. The Lord has brought to them the precious blessing of his grace. He has delivered them from the slavery of sin and the bondage of error, and has opened to their darkened understandings the glorious light of present truth. And shall these evidences of his love and mercy call forth no gratitude in return? Will those who profess to believe that the end of all things is at hand be blind to their own spiritual interests and live for this world and this life alone? Do they expect their eternal interest to take care of itself? They cannot obtain spiritual strength without an effort on their part. Many who profess to be looking for the appearing of our Lord are anxious, burdened seekers for worldly gain. They are blind to their eternal interest. They labor for that which satisfieth not. They spend their money for that which is not bread. They strive to content themselves with the treasures they have laid up upon the earth, which must perish, and they neglect the preparation for eternity, which should be the first and only real work of their lives. Let all who possibly can attend these yearly gatherings. All should feel that God requires this of them. If they do not avail themselves of the privileges which He has provided for them to become strong in Him and in the power of His grace, they will grow weaker and weaker and have less and less desire to consecrate all to Him. Come, brethren and sisters, to these sacred convocation meetings to find Jesus. He will come up to the feast. He will be present and will do for you that which you need most to have done. Your farms should not be considered of greater value than the higher interests of the soul. All the treasures you possess, be they ever so valuable, would not be rich enough to buy you peace and hope, which would be infinite gain at the cost of all you have and the toils and sufferings of a lifetime. A strong, clear sense of eternal things and a heart willing to yield all to Christ are blessings of more value than all the riches and pleasures and glories of this world. These camp meetings are of importance. They cost something. The servants of God are wearing out their lives to help the people, while many of them appear as if they did not want help. For fear of losing a little of this world's gain, some let these precious privileges come and go as though they were of but very little importance. Let all who profess to believe the truth respect every privilege that God offers them to obtain clearer views of His truth and His requirements and the necessary preparation for His coming. A calm, cheerful, and obedient trust in God is what He requires. You need not weary yourselves with busy anxieties and needless cares. Work on for the day, faithfully doing the work which God's providence assigns you, and He will have a care for you. Jesus will deepen and widen your blessings. You must make efforts if you have salvation at last. Come to these meetings prepared to work. Leave your home cares and come to find Jesus, and He will be found of you. Come with your offerings as God has blessed you. Show your gratitude to your Creator, the giver of all your benefits, by a free will offering. Let none who are able to give come empty-handed. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. The object of a camp meeting is to lead all to separate from business cares and burdens, and devote a few days exclusively to seeking the Lord. We should occupy the time in self-examination, close searching of heart, penitential confession of sins, and renewing our vows to the Most High. If any come to these meetings for less worthy objects, we hope the character of the meetings will be such as to bring their minds to the proper objects. Some are sufferers through extra labor in preparing for camp meeting. They are liberal-souled people and want nothing done with stinginess. Some make large provisions and are thoroughly wearied out when they come to the meeting, and as soon as they are released from the pressure of work, exhausted nature causes them to feel that she has been abused. Some of these persons may never have attended a camp meeting before and are not informed in regard to what preparations they are required to make. They lose some of the precious meetings they had purposed to attend. Now these mistake in making so great preparation. Nothing should be taken to camp meeting except the most healthful articles, cooked in a simple manner, free from all spices and grease. I am convinced that none need to make themselves sick preparing for camp meeting if they observe the laws of health in their cooking. If they make no cake or pies, but cook simple graham bread and depend on fruit, canned or dried, they need not get sick in preparing for the meeting, and they need not be sick while at the meeting. None should go through the entire meeting without some warm food. There are always cook stoves upon the ground where this may be obtained. Brethren and sisters must not be sick upon the encampment. If they clothe themselves properly in the chill of morning and night, and are particular to vary their clothing according to the changing weather, so as to preserve proper circulation, and strictly observe regularity in sleeping and in eating of simple food, taking nothing between meals, they need not be sick. They may be well during the meeting, their minds may be clear and able to appreciate the truth, and they may return to their homes refreshed in body and spirit. Those who have been engaged in hard labor from day to day now cease their exercise, therefore they should not eat their average amount of food. If they do, their stomachs will be overtaxed. We wish to have the brain power especially vigorous at these meetings and in the most healthy condition to hear the truth, appreciate it, and retain it, that all may practice it after their return from the meeting. If the stomach is burdened with too much food, even of a simple character, the brain force is called to the aid of the digestive organs. There is a benumbed sensation upon the brain. It is almost impossible to keep the eyes open. The very truths which should be heard, understood, and practiced are entirely lost through indisposition, or because the brain is almost paralyzed in consequence of the amount of food eaten. I would advise all to take something warm into the stomach every morning at least. You can do this without much labor. You can make graham gruel. If the graham flour is too coarse, sift it, and while the gruel is hot, add milk. This will make a most palatable and healthful dish for the campground. And if your bread is dry, crumb it into the gruel, and it will be enjoyed. I do not approve of eating much cold food, for the reason that the vitality must be drawn from the system to warm the food until it becomes of the same temperature as the stomach before the work of digestion can be carried on. Another very simple yet wholesome dish is beans boiled or baked. Dilute a portion of them with water, add milk or cream, and make a broth. The bread can be used as in graham gruel. I am gratified to see the progress that many have made in the health reform, yet am sorry to see so many behind. If any become sick upon your encampments, inquiry should be made as to the cause, and note should be taken of the case. I am not willing that the reputation of our camp meetings should suffer by their being reported as the cause of making people sick. If a proper course be pursued at these important gatherings, they can be made a blessing to the bodily health as well as to the health of the soul.